don't give a damn if it's 9 a.m. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My football team's got me drinking.
Back at it again with the Shades of Blue soccer crew. Show. Is that right?
Not that easy.
Fail.
Maybe I just don't listen closely enough.
Back at it again with the Blue Testament crew. Here for another Shades of Blue soccer show with the proper introduction that time.
So everyone, after the show, please vote in the comments who you want to do the intro from here on out. Cody, so keep it the same or switch it up with me.
Does that prove that Allie doesn't listen to Cody?
Yes.
I'm not putting that up for a vote because there's no way I will win that vote.
Exactly.
There's nothing beyond. It's not as easy as it sounds.
Okay. But we are here again, and it's the full squad. I'm Cody.
I'm Robert. Thad.
Allie.
We don't really do that enough. Should we be doing that every time? Do people know who we are by our voices?
You know, if they've been listening for a while, I think they know. But, you know, we probably should. Because we're getting new listeners all the time.
Yeah. So, should we actually do the full introduction?
The
like our actual names? You know, like more than just the first name?
Okay, Thad, would you like to do that?
This is Thad Bell, the Blue Testament.
Robert Russert.
Who's apparently not of the Blue Testament.
Of the Blue Testament, sorry. Pardon me.
I'm Cody Bradley. Of the Blue Testament.
And multimedia outlets.
And I'm Allie Trost, also of the Blue Testament.
TBT.
TBT.
Okay, so the Dallas game was a while ago now. We don't want to dwell on it, but we are going to have a dedicated time to Johan Kraaze appreciation.
Johan love.
But let's do some like quick.
Thank you, Johan.
Let's do some quick fire takes from that game.
And who's up first,
is that cool?
Cody?
Just give me anything. Something you liked, a hot take, anything along those lines. Would better be quick. Okay.
Go, Robert.
Thad.
Mine is I'm still loving the fact that we had, at one point, three homegrown young players on the left side, and they're not only holding their own, they're doing well.
Kind of quick. I'll allow that one. Bob.
Well, I mean, Mr. Zendejas in the back line struggled a little bit, so that was a bit of a problem, but, you know, we survived. And then the other one is that Diego
Wait. You said mine wasn't quick? He's rambling.
I was going to go around again for another one.
Okay, all right.
And you would go negative.
I would. I have. Somebody's got to.
Allie, give me something.
Kyrie Shelton is amazing and is our center forward.
Yeah, I like that. Daniel Shallowy getting that shot off in the box with like seven guys around him.
Is that an accurate count? Or is this just like,
I looked, you guys might debate me on two of them, but I'm saying seven were in his vicinity.
I think there was probably 11 opponents on that field.
General vicinity. Do you have another one, Thad?
Second takes, go around.
I'm still in love with Johan's shot.
Yeah, can't be mad at that one.
I'm going to go negative again. Diego Rubio, not so much.
I'm also going to go negative. Emiliano Amor.
Eh, okay.
Not sure.
Do we get to debate any of these?
Eventually.
I figured we will talk about some of them. My favorite thing from the game was not Kraaze's goal, but his celebration. Just
exactly.
The like pure relief and joy and freaking finally that came out. Like he did like every celebration in the book. He did like the jump and fist pump, the slide, the like let the team come and celebrate and scream around him. It was great.
And exultation, you could say.
Just to speak to that really quick, when I talked to Johan after the game and asked him like how it felt going in front of the cauldron, hearing all of them chanting his name, he and I thought this was kind of cool. He referenced back to kind of that time earlier in the season when he struggled a bit and had a hard time really finding his own with the team. And that hearing them then cheer his name after that goal, just it felt even better for him. And I think that's cool just because as much as we all criticize Kraaze and all of that, it was interesting to see from his perspective like that, you know, he wasn't he wanted to improve. Like, he wants to do well for this team, for this club, for the fans. And just to hear him, like, that time with the team really sticks with him and makes him want to be better. And I think that was kind of cool.
Yeah, did you tear up a little, Ellie?
I started sobbing. I had to actually walk off the field.
And we kind of asked him the same thing in the locker room, and he said, when I asked him what he was thinking when the caller was chanting, "Thank you, Johan," and he was like, "It was emotional."
I like his
sweetheart.
I like his accent.
All right.
So continue the love. Thad, you were gushing about him a little bit ago. How much did you like the goal? Talk about it.
No, the goal was amazing. And even Johan will admit he was lucky. He goes, "I was lucky," but he also added in, "It has been years of training in order to get to the point where he was lucky." So mm-hmm. he knows how to hit balls, but he was still lucky in doing it. But it was such a beautiful ball. It had that nice little curve away and just inside the post.
Oh.
And it just about couldn't be placed
completely
any better.
Unstoppable.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite quotes, "Luck is when preparation meets opportunity." And that was Johan Kraaze in that moment, the outside of his foot, just incredibly placed ball. Like, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a dream scenario, the way that ball fell to him so perfectly in open space. No one was stepping to him.
And thanks to the efforts of Kyrie Shelton fighting.
Who got lucky that a defender popped the ball
that
up
whole,
to Johan.
That, the whole entire goal was lucky, if you ask me. Like it was just a very strong effort, which resulted in a very poor clearance from FC Dallas. Like, it wasn't even like a lucky shank. It was like, "Dallas, what are you doing back there? Can't clear that ball? Are you joking?"
Yeah, it was Kyrie taking on the entire defense that caused it. That's how I'll phrase it.
And then they watch as the ball, like, floats through the air and Kraaze, completely unmarked, approaches and just...
Also,
I'll accept that for now, but
I
will reserve the right to come back to this at a later point.
Okay.
We were just talking about how making your own luck, and that's exactly what Kyrie did there.
I'm not going to argue it right now. I was reserve the right to come back to this later.
Pure muscle carried that ball into the box, and I don't care what happened after that. That's all I'm talking about.
And trust me, I do like Kyrie. He's a good guy, not been the one that's been down on him the whole time and all that stuff. He does do a lot for this team, so I'm not going to argue that point. But let's move on to the next one.
Well, a natural transition to that is, what did Rubio do the whole time he was in there?
Well, until you stole my natural transition there, I was going to set you up for your is or isn't.
Oh, wow. Already into that? Okay.
Ellie, sing us some Bob intro music for Bob's is or isn't.
The Jeopardy theme.
She actually
would be
thought
good.
About it.
I got excited. This is going to be my big break into the music industry, so.
I'm surprised you actually leaned forward. I just thought you were going to tell me to.
Why did I all of a sudden get Paula Abdul? I don't know. Anyway. Okay.
Hey, that's a compliment.
It is. I actually get told that I look like a lot of female musical artists from time to time. Except one time I was told I look like Mariah Carey, which I'm flattered. She's a beautiful woman. We are not of the same ethnical descent. So I'm not sure. Maybe the person that was seeing me, perhaps,
was
drunk, or they don't see color, which J-Lo good for them. I've gotten J-Lo quite a bit, which is a huge compliment. I will never, ever... be like, "No, I don't." I'll be like, "Oh, sure, you think that? Great. Like, that's awesome."
Keep name dropping.
You know, today, a little bit of I Dream of Jeannie, don't you think?
I think it's the earrings. I like the earrings. I like crazy earrings, though.
So for everyone who can't see us, because we are a podcast.
Old man, what was her name? I Dream of Jeannie. Who played
Barbara Eden?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Nice. I have
blonde?
A familiar face. I am kind
more
of blonde
blonde-ish.
Now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm wearing... red fringe earrings for everyone who can't see on our radio TV show.
All right, back to the music selection.
They look more Chinese to me, actually.
Is
yeah,
or
they're definitely,
isn't.
They're definitely...
Yeah, with the bun and just everything.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, we got a glimpse. So
now that you guys know what I look like right now, I have a high, messy bun, some blonde highlights as of recent, and red fringe dangly earrings that are from Forever 21. So if you want to get a pair of your own, use code ALLIE15
for
15.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. Anyway, can we talk back
sure,
to soccer? I'm sure everyone cares about what's going on here right now.
And Cheese Bro, that was for you. No.
All right, I heard it. I think you need to do it again.
Yeah, so that was the intro to Is or Isn't.
I want to hear it again.
Is or Isn't. Oh, wow. Kind of good, yeah.
Okay. Some range.
Step aside, J-Lo.
All right, so is or isn't Mr. Diego Rubio, does his future lie with Sporting Kansas City or does it not?
Here's my thing.
Terribly phrased.
Is or Diego Rubio's future with Sporting Kansas City or isn't it?
That was better.
Okay. Well, it well isn't. Rehearsed. It isn't, if I had to say. And one thing I'm curious about, why is Diego Rubio only good when you throw him in the last 3 minutes? It's like, no, honestly, though, it's like, does he get this, like, adrenaline rush from not getting the start where he has to, like, prove himself and then he performs better? Because if that's the case, then that's fine. Let that be his role because
we've seen...
Could
you say the same about Johan?
No. I wouldn't put that in the same... Because Johan's not expected to score. Like, okay, Diego Rubio at center forward, he's gone in 2 times as a super sub and scored really important goals. Or maybe not, the second one wasn't necessarily as important, but it was important for him. But the first one, you know, he ends up tying the game. So he's gone in and scored 2 pretty impressive goals. But other than that, he's almost completely off the grid as a center forward. Like, you don't even see him. He hardly does anything.
His starts disappoint me.
Yes, his starts are disappointing.
And I think
there's only been 2, and he just kind of disappears. So I'd rather him come in as a super sub and score and, you know, get that adrenaline or anger or whatever it is out.
I'd say a super sub is a good role.
Yeah.
But does his salary justify that in his, yeah.
This is MLS. I don't even think you can look at that.
Really?
This is where we're at. Do the best with what we have right now. MLS is just weird.
If your team is looking to sign a center forward in the transfer window and apparently a midfielder and a left back, according to what we saw today, is that salary something you can afford? Of course, there's other salaries we could talk about too. But
there's so many ways to fund players in MLS that people look at. I've been definitely arguing the last couple of years you should not even pay attention to something labeled as a DP. It doesn't freaking matter anymore. Right. It used to be important that a player was, oh, that's a DP. They're the big name. They're expensive players. It's just one other method for acquiring players with TAM and GAM and homegrown funds and other Garber bucks that are on the way. It doesn't really matter anymore that a person's a DP. That comes into play much more in their transfer fee than it is the quality of the player. Because people are earlier in the year saying, how can you have Crozet be a DP? That's the transfer fee.
Okay, another way to look at it is, okay, so last year Rubio was Dwyer's replacement, right? And he did fairly well, right? But coming into this season, he starts the first game and doesn't get another start until now. He's been very few minutes as a sub. Do you think he's actually in Peter Vermes' plans?
He is another tool in the toolbox for Vermes right now.
Yeah.
Diego was hurt there for a while. It was kind of, since he wasn't starting, nobody really missed him.
Yeah.
But he was hurt there for a little while. He didn't get any time in that period, but he's a guy who can provide goals in the right time and place. But would I be starting him right now? Probably not.
I like what you just said there about him being another tool in the toolbox, because I think, to me, that immediately made me think back to Peter Vermes talking about Christian Lobato and saying that he unlocked this potential that he found this potential in Christian Lobato in practice that served as that wing forward, which then, you know, Lobato gets that goal against Minnesota, and granted, I know we'd say, oh, it's against Minnesota, it doesn't matter. But, like, I think that there are a lot of moving parts that work in the offense. I just think with Vermes' comfort level and where what he sees out of the overall team and what he expects out of the starting lineup, I think it's going to stay consistent with Kyrie Shelton, Daniel Shallowy, and Johnny Russell, even if the goals aren't always coming from them or they aren't always coming from that starting lineup. I think that is going to be, that will be the solid front line with then that Diego Rubio coming in from time to time against certain teams as a super sub. Christian Lobato randomly getting that. I mean, the jack of all trades, truly, with the team. Like, the guy can play every position except goalie, unless we want to try him there. But no, that just shook his head. No.
So another perspective, if you're Diego Rubio, do you want to be here?
Yeah, I think so. And even if it's as a super sub.
It's just going to be, for him, getting used to this new role and accepting this new role as he, you know, kind of came on. He was the starting guy last season, and he did fairly well. He didn't not score, but maybe this year. And that would be confusing. I feel like he is upset.
So the team, go ahead.
Where do you, you know, if you are Diego Rubio, where do you think you're going? Where else would you go? Do you think?
Well, before I answer that, if I'm Diego Rubio and they sign a center forward in this transfer window, I'm thinking, where do I fit in? And I'm young enough to do something better than this.
Consistent play.
Yeah.
Where would he? Who's going to give him consistent play? Is what I'm asking. You say that like a matter of factly, but where is he going to do that?
Lower leagues than MLS.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Teams that appreciate
I think that there are plenty of players who would rather be a super sub in MLS than play in ASL.
That's the thing we don't know. Is that Diego Rubio? Is that his mindset? Or does he like, forget this, I just want to go somewhere else?
The show with a lot of questions and not very many answers.
Hey, well, some things we can't read people's minds, can
but
we?
I will say, okay, I guess this is like maybe not an answer but an insight. I don't like Diego Rubio, from what I've seen, and just like in the sense that, well, for one, I know for a fact he doesn't like to talk to media unless he plays.
Exactly.
Unless they, so it's like, to me right there, that is a light into that this is a guy who expects to start and to play, and if he doesn't, he's not happy.
Right. Has some bitterness about it.
That says a lot. Like whether, mm-hmm. you know, that's about where, about his future with the team or where he wants to go, his next steps. I think that says a lot. And I think that he probably has had a really hard time adjusting this year. If I can imagine, we haven't, you know, I personally haven't. Oh my God. That is literally terrifying. I know that you guys can't see anything we're doing, but
that's
has
thing.
An insane photo of Diego Rubio making a very crazy,
that's
funny,
favorite
scary
thing
face.
Is to just randomly show us pictures in the studio, like for no reason, basically.
I didn't tell you to stop.
We should do a caption usually. This contest with that photo, because that is wild.
Yeah, we should do that. You're right.
That'd
I like
be
that
fun.
Idea.
And Bob, your question of is
go ahead.
No, that is now showing pictures of me interviewing. And as anyone who's probably watched my videos knows, I, one, talk with my hands. Two,
yes,
wear a lot of expression on my face. That's who I am, and I'm not going to change that. But
nobody's asking you to change.
But it's okay, but you're making fun of me, so.
No, everyone always makes fun of people who talk with their hands, and I'm one of those people, and it drives me crazy. Everyone should do that. Body language is very key.
I don't know if making fun is the correct term. I'm just giving you crap about it.
Okay.
We're enjoying it. There's a different thing.
Yeah.
So if you don't watch the videos to get any post-game insight from the players, at least watch to see me talk with my hands.
Okay. That so was Cody, the last picture you're showing tonight, Thad. That one wasn't even relevant in any way. That was just, he's just showing off his work here.
You have
an Instagram. You have an Instagram. Put it on Instagram.
I did.
Put it on your story.
I put it on my feed, not my story.
Well, put on your story if you want to show it off again.
I'll do it when I want to.
Okay, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Your point of, you know, what are you, if Sporting Kansas City signs a center forward,
mm-hmm.
what is he thinking? Well, I mean, I don't really care. That's what professional sports are.
Yeah.
Like, if he's worried about that, he needs to keep scoring off the bench. I'm not like, I mean, he's under, like, he's playing for a job. It's not like,
oh, sure.
It's not like he has enough sway in this team to just control things by saying he doesn't want to play or you know, complaining
but
about
your
not
role,
playing.
Say at your job currently is diminished and it keeps getting diminished and diminished. What are you going to start thinking?
But if we have, you're saying if we sign a center forward, then yeah. I don't care about him anymore.
Okay.
If we're being perfectly honest.
I'm talking about Diego's perspective here.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't care because it's professional sports.
Here's my thing, though. What about Gerso, too? Gerso went through almost the exact same demotion, in a sense. Like, he was a leading goal scorer last year, and he... Yeah.
Even more of a demotion.
He has even more of a demotion, and... I mean, God bless. Everyone loves everyone loves Gerso's smile. It's like literally the happiest guy, but... I mean, if I were him. I think Gerso has every more right to be angry than...
Yeah, I don't know. You got two wingers. You've got Russell that plays out there. You've got Charlie that plays out there. And then who's next?
Gerso.
Okay, but you've got Rubio. You've got Belmar's played in front of him. Shelton's played in front of him. Shalui has played in front of him. And they sign another one? Now you're number five.
But I will say, I think the reason that Belmar and Shalui played in front of him is because both of them have been huge scoring threats on the field. Granted, Belmar's coming from
USL.
That's
how you earn time.
And, I mean, I know Rubio didn't really get much USL Swope Park Ranger playing time this season other than maybe, what, one or two games? And still wasn't, like, highly productive. Not, like, to a Belmar standard, at least.
Right.
Granted, Belmar's played more minutes, and you know, in USL with Swope,
and he was really hot early. The last couple games that he's played in, he wasn't quite as much.
And then Shallowy is just PV's guy, like.
Yeah,
let's be clear. He's not fifth in the depth chart. He started the last game. He started the most recent game.
Right, but
yeah, Kyrie was coming off injury.
Yeah,
I know. I'm just saying it's not in that dire of a situation.
Yeah, he's.
It's not like they're putting Iko Parra up at center forward before they're putting Diego Rubio.
Well, let's change the conversation ever so slightly. What is Diego Rubio good at besides scoring off the bench? I mean, he doesn't hold up the ball like Kyrie does. He's not someone who takes people on 1v1.
He shoots better.
He does have an accurate shot.
Then who?
Kyrie.
Okay.
He scored more goals per minute than Kyrie has by far.
Yeah.
He isn't bad at hold-up play. He isn't as... Kyrie, and again, I like Kyrie, so this is not dinging on Kyrie.
Yeah.
But he is not a great passer. He's made some good passes. He made a couple
To Shelton or...
Right, Shelton.
Okay, all right.
He's made a couple really good passes earlier in the year. The one back heel to Shallowy, I think. But he's done some really good passes, and he's done some good hold-up play. He's not an extremely great passer. He doesn't play as strong as what he should at times. This last game, the exception, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But again, they're just different players.
Yeah, sure.
With different people there, I would just use an example. If we had Failhaber still, and Failhaber was playing like he was 2 years ago, I would say that Diego may be the better player in that spot,
right?
Because he's going to get fed balls. He doesn't have to come back to the center circle to retrieve balls all the time, which is where Shelton's been doing a lot. Right now, Sporting doesn't have a 10. Matter of fact, even when Felipe Gutierrez is there, he's not truly a 10. He's an 8-ish.
He makes that point every other podcast.
I know, because it's still true.
I think he's a great MLS 10.
So,
how many assists did he have?
So basically what we're saying about Rubio is you know, I just posed the question.
That didn't hold up.
We're saying
you just
that
didn't have an answer.
He's an important part of the tool box.
Yes.
And I certainly agree. But still, if I'm Diego Rubio, I'm looking to get out.
Which is a completely different point.
Exactly.
Part of the point so far has been that he's not worth it, essentially. And I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
But from a Diego point of view, if you're not getting consistent playing time and you don't have a logic or a good plan that you're going to be getting good playing time, yeah, I would probably be looking too, and I'd probably be asking my godfather to start spreading rumors.
Exactly.
I'm not saying he's done that.
And Peter Vermees did speak on this today. I did pose the question, you know, does Rubio's future lie with Sporting Kansas City? And he was ignorant of any rumors that were out there, and he said that no one has inquired or called. Or his technical words, called about.
I was just
Diego.
About to set you up for that to end this conversation.
Yeah.
So yeah, you said he was careful. He didn't answer the question of
is his future here?
Is his future here? And that's, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean a lot, but
right.
I think, like you said earlier, Daniel Shalloway is his boy. If you ask him that, if you ask him the same question about Daniel Shalloway, at some point in there, he's going to be like, I would love to have him here for years.
Right. Exactly. Good point.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So what he didn't say might be more revealing than what he did say.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
But you also gave him the out because you mentioned rumors, and he says, I don't know what rumors you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then when we said it, his answer was, I haven't gotten any calls. So.
All right. And notice my recall here. I'm going back to bother Thad. You called him a number 8. And implied that him scoring goals and not assisting would make him more of a number 8?
No. Actually, no.
Well, that is. That was the logic you were using.
Nope. Not at all.
Fight.
Okay, well, that's what I meant by it didn't hold up.
I look at number 10s as scoring and assist guys. So in
and
that
number
case,
eights don't are I don't look at as either of those guys.
They can do both.
Okay, well, he's still
they
more of a number 10. He's a great MLS 10.
He will fulfill that role for Sporting, but he's not a classic 10 in any way, shape, or form. But the way Sporting plays, they don't need a 10. It's not a 10 role. It's two eights. It's whether and one of them may be more advanced, one of them may be more of a playmaker than the other. Like when Benny was there versus Roger, he was definitely more of a playmaker. But when you look at the positioning on the field, the 10 is usually kind of sitting farther forward and creating all the plays. That's not the way it is with Sporting, especially now.
That difference that you distinguish between them was, like, honestly the difference that I think of between a 10 and an 8 anyway. So, like, that there isn't that much of one, except that they're just playing a little more forward, a little more creative.
But that's what I'm saying is really they're not that much difference with the way Sporting plays.
Yeah.
Could Peter Vermees ever have an actual 10 on his team? Because 10s traditionally don't play a whole lot of defense.
Or a 9.
Yeah.
So it's the way Peter has them playing right now with the players he has. Now, maybe he will at some later point because this team doesn't play like they did 5 years ago. You know, 5 years ago it was smash mouth, run and gun kind of thing. Now it's possession, build the play up, and continue to get more and more skilled players that can possess better and break down other players, other teams. So
smash mouth, run and gun. That is my new favorite saying. Anytime I ever describe soccer, that's just kind of like push it down your throat, like just send the ball forward and throw bodies.
To go back to what you said, though, can Peter Vermees ever have a 9? Yeah, because Peter Vermees was a 9. But it is interesting that he had one of the best 9s in the league in Kai Kamara, but never played him there.
It's because he saw him as better winger because of the
system.
Which
he was successful on the wing, but yeah.
Because of the system that he wanted to play.
Yeah. But I think Peter can definitely have a 9.
Which 9 has been really successful other than Dom, was a
smash-mouth
running gun.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying he can definitely have one. Especially since Suarez is his dream player, and you mentioned that today. That was funny. Yeah. So we were talking about the transfers, and how did it go? You said, no Suarez, does Suarez want to come here? And you're like, well, doesn't everybody?
Yeah. I said, is it a little more difficult looking for players right now because of the World Cup? And he goes, no, I don't see that being a problem for us. And I said, well, no Suarez? Thinking, you know, Suarez is kind of busy right now, not looking for, you know. So I was just kind of joking with that, and he goes, what, he wants to come here?
Yeah. And you're like, doesn't everybody? Well, Suarez is his dream.
Oh, so funny.
His dream number 9, so.
Well, it was funny at the time.
Thad, you're a goof. Did Vermees laugh?
No.
He's not an easy he's not an easy sell on that.
He's pretty funny himself, though.
He is, I know. But yeah, he doesn't give out laughs very generously.
No, but when he, there's like a definite different level of response, okay? If I tell a joke to you, you laugh, right? I tell a joke to Peter, he may not laugh, but he doesn't frown. Yeah. So, yeah.
Victory.
Okay. The Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup 2018.
Bum, bum, bum.
Quarterfinals.
Thank you, Barbara.
Was there anything else we wanted to discuss? I know we were trying to not to do much, but guys were like complaining about Amor and Zendejas. You guys were earlier?
Cody didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on this game because it's old news.
Mine's pretty
He doesn't even he didn't even want to talk about it. He just did that just to make me mad. But Allie, say something about Amor.
I mean, mine's pretty short other than like I just think that Amor's speed is going to kill him in that position. I remember one play specifically where Amor lost the ball and then his process in getting back, Elie was covering for him. And it was like Elie was almost the last man on defense. And I'm sorry, Elie is a great player. He does a lot for the team. He should not be the last man back in that situation that isn't like a corner kick or something like that. It was the whole time I just remember being like, you know, very and it took Amor so long to get back. And like he's strong and he's physical. He can get in the air well, but he needs the speed.
That play was...
It was a weird play.
Well, that was the one... It was just the same as he was being aggressive trying to go forward and just lost it at a terrible time. Yes. It was kind of, he was doing the same thing he did to get the assist in that Open Cup game.
Right.
Except this time he just lost the ball and it was in a terrible spot.
And yeah, I think
Ilya was the last resort there.
I think Amor just needs to be smarter when to play back and when to kind of hold and when to make those runs forward. Because sometimes those runs are going to be great, they're going to work, and it's going to be a beautiful goal by, was that one by Russell or was that by Belmar? The one that he kind of said he started.
He passed it to Belmar, Russell.
Yeah. Yeah, so sometimes that's going to happen. It's going to be great, beautiful, awesome. But other times it's like, you're going to lose the ball on Ilya's, your backtracking guy.
Amor's made some really good runs in this last game. He got caught a couple times dribbling too much and ran into players.
And again, he's not fast enough to, like, when Ike is dribbling, when Ike makes that run, he has such a burst of speed into space that oftentimes he's able to create an opening for himself, whereas Amor has a harder time. He gets kind of caught, like, in his feet, and it just kind of puts him in kind of iffy situations, I think.
I will say, though, I think the comparison in this last game is not necessarily fair because we've seen him only for a couple games.
Right.
And previously he did those runs and did exceptionally well with them.
Right.
And
but this is against a harder team. This is against FC Dallas that we're comparing to.
But I was just kind of, the one thing I was going to kind of jokingly compare, though, was he ran into a player and lost the ball. It's the same thing Shelton did, and he just got lucky that it popped up and went to Crozet.
Shelton's also not our center defender.
But to back up your point,
but he has Ike and Ilya back there.
But we got put Ilya in goal.
Hold on, my point with that play is you're focusing on like that all he did. You're acting like what Kyrie did on the play was like pass it to Crozet. That's not that's not the value in the play. The value in the play was that he somehow ran down a 50-50 ball and somehow brought the play into the box. That's the impressive thing.
And had three guys hanging off of him.
It's not even ever that he like had possession. He was fighting for possession the whole time around all alone with the back line.
Which is a fair point, but I keep hearing people talk about how his great hold-up play, he didn't do one bit of hold-up play there. He was trying to dribble and he ran into defenders and lost the ball.
No, watch.
Which is fine.
He wasn't dribbling really though. Like what? It was more of like this constant battle. Like there's a difference between having the ball and dribbling it and having the ball and being like in a 50-50 fight.
Which again
position.
Is fair, but I keep seeing people talk about how he did great hold-up play.
What do you define hold-up play? Playing with your back to the goal? Because that's exactly how he took possession of that ball, with his back to the goal.
But I think you were just arguing that he didn't take possession of the ball. He was fighting for it the whole time.
That wasn't hold-up play. I don't know what is. How is that not hold-up play?
Also, it's like, why does anyone care if he had... Why does it matter if he had possession? Because the ball, it was his... If he wasn't there, the ball would have been clear. We would have never scored that goal.
But again, for that logic to hold up, it would have to be that we had possession before that. He was chasing down a 50-50 ball and took that 50-50 ball by kind of winning possession, took it into the box. And then caused so many problems that all they could do was hopefully flail at the ball, and it was a terrible clearance and went right to Crozet.
But there's two different ways to look at this, okay? He either had hold-up play and he had possession of the ball, or he was fighting... Or...
I don't buy that right there.
Exactly.
Exactly what?
He's reiterating what you're saying. He's supporting what you're saying.
Yeah.
No.
He did not have possession of the ball. He did not have hold up play. He fought for the ball, which is good. Okay, it's good. I'm not saying it was bad. He was fighting for the ball. He was fighting for the ball. He had momentary possession at best, and he lost it to a defender who then popped it up to Crozet.
But But he also won it. Then you're not saying that. If you're saying he lost it, then he did amazing work to win possession and take the ball into the box.
He never had full possession of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It is semantics on what you're calling hold up play. What is required in hold up play is everything that he did in that. I understand you're like calling hold up play that you have to have the possession, but it's still in hold up play. You have to be able to body a guy off.
Which he did.
Caused a lot of problems.
He did, yeah. I'm agreeing with you.
And that's what I mean.
Except for the part where he had possession, which he didn't really have control of the ball.
So then you can't be mad at him for losing the ball.
I never said I was mad at him for losing the ball. I'm saying it wasn't hold-up play. It wasn't great hold-up play. He did great fight for the ball, but people, I keep seeing people talk
okay,
about
it. But here's where I come in. How was it not great hold-up play if it resulted in a freaking goal? Like, yeah. Let me pose this.
It was attacking play, this. if anything, because he took it into the box.
Let me be the voice of reason here. Was the reason the defender popped the ball up because he made a bad decision and he didn't have time to do anything else because of Shelton's pressure? Or was it because of Shelton's pressure?
I mean, it was as players were both fighting for that ball, after, through Kyrie's strength, the play was taken into the box. Kyrie got like one final touch on it, and it was very quickly at that defender who didn't have all the time to react to it. He just swung at the ball. Kyrie was causing problems. That defender took a wild swing at the ball to clear it.
Yeah,
he was a good 8 yards away from Shelton. So what I'm saying is the guy was not pressured by Shelton anyway to do what he did. He just screwed up.
Okay. I agree that he screwed up.
Yeah. I have no qualms with that.
But I will say, though, that I don't think that guy would have reacted so hot potato with that situation had Shelton not been... Like, he was obviously feeling the pressure from that build-up and that hold-up play that we saw.
Well, we should call him in for an interview and ask
Kyrie,
him.
Kyrie, god dang it. Like,
he ran down that ball that I thought he had no business getting to. I thought it was from Krause's header. I thought it was the defender's ball, and he somehow bodied him off, and then somehow, through strength, the play was taken into the box. And that is all I'm saying was great play. And that alone right there was better than anything that Rubio did for me.
Of course, I've been trying to pull up the
replay,
but my phone's
not
working. So.
It's all about Rubio.
I wasn't responding to you there.
Well, that was fun.
Like, why do I get so passionate about it?
It really bothers me that people don't see the value of that play.
I know.
Of that play.
I think, well, because, like, okay, it goes back to kind of my
degrees thing.
I think some people really expect, like, every single... like play leading up to a goal to be this like beautiful thing.
Yeah,
guess what?
Right there.
A goal is a goal, and if you get it in with your
Did I say that Shelton was horrible player for that? Did I say that?
No, this isn't me criticizing you,
because
I know that a lot of what you're saying is what people are saying.
And I'm also comparing it to a little bit to what Amor was doing earlier, was that he was trying to dribble and he lost the ball, and the ball bounced luckily to Krause. Shelton did not play it to Krause. The defender did, okay? And again, it was because Shelton did work to get that ball there, whether it was full possession or he's fighting for it or any of that other semantics, right? But I do not, and I will not call that hold-up play.
Okay,
that was pressure, and it was what people don't see that Shelton does really well. He does do that really well.
Okay, so because the semantics of that word is seemingly what is bothering you in this whole debate, to say, not call it hold-up play, but you'll say he did everything that is required of hold-up play he did on that play.
No, did he pass the ball to anybody? Hold-up play is you get possession, you pass it off to somebody.
The key word of hold-up play is hold.
Well,
he didn't hold the ball.
He either never had possession or he had it for such a little time that he didn't do anything with it.
What was the bottom line on that play?
Krause got lucky.
I'm saying he was fighting for the ball, and it led to a goal. And that sounds like the bottom line of hold-up play. That last part was just to really bother him. I just wanted to, like, get in there at the end. And then because I get to move on to the next subject here. The Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup 2018 Houston Dynamo for the fourth year in a row.
I see where we're going.
Should we talk about that? Do you want to discuss our qualms with the current format of this tournament?
That format is?
I'm tired. The regional format. Mm-hmm. I'm very tired of the Houston Dynamo.
They need to hold up on this stupid regional play.
Here we go with the puns.
that was waiting for the chance over there. Okay, is anyone for this regional? I was for a long time. It makes sense to me.
The only reason I would be is because of the economics of it.
Well, and then, yeah, and you know, like, we played St. Louis FC. Like, that was cool for them. Like, that's a cool part of the tournament.
Right, that is true.
But then that stopped happening. Now we just play the Dynamo every year.
That's because St. Louis FC sucks.
That's true.
They can't get by anybody.
Yeah. So the alternative is just...
put them in a hat and pull them out randomly.
Yeah, which is easier... for the FA Cup in England when they're all so close.
Right.
And my point with that, like, I'm probably cool with that. I guess I would like to see that. But everyone already complains about the, you know, is the Open Cup worth it, or do you put a full lineup there? They talk about the impact it has on a regular season. Then, yeah, maybe we shouldn't be flying across the country for this midweek game.
U.S. soccer misses out so many times on what they can do to make this better, okay? In this particular case, they could have moved Nashville into the same bracket with Sporting and moved Houston over to a bracket with Atlanta, and it would have been somebody different, okay?
True.
At least one of these teams would have been something different, okay? They could have intelligently said, okay, instead of, like, trying to come up with some stupid little particular region, they could have moved a couple of teams around. The plane flight from here to Houston versus Houston to Atlanta is nothing.
Right,
okay?
Right.
There's no difference there.
Well, that's we're in the middle of the country saying that. I mean, if Orlando has to go play L.A., it's a different story.
No, and I agree, but they already could have done something this year to at least change that up. But for the future, MLS teams are already budgeting for plane travel anyway, and they can... That was squeaky. I don't know if that shows up on the sound, but there's a lot of things they could do. First of all, U.S. Soccer does a horrible job of promoting this tournament and getting any, like, TV revenue out of it, okay? Not until the final does anything show up on TV.
Not even on TV, yeah.
And I've asked about that in the past, and because, like, Sporting wanted to put one of the games on TV, like, back when it was, you know, Metro Sports or some other local channel. They wanted to do it, and I asked why they weren't doing it, because, you know, I mean, they would have done it for free, essentially. It would have been just a free trade at that point. They wouldn't have had to pay to get it on there. And U.S. Soccer wanted such a high dollar amount that neither the team or the station or combination was willing to pay it. So I don't know if that's currently true. Okay, so this was a few years ago. But that was back when there was even less interest in the, you know, there was...
Yeah.
So U.S. Soccer shoots itself in a foot for doing that sort of thing. So if they promote this better, which they seem to be trying to promote it a little bit better, they're still not very good at it, but they seem to be at least trying to promote it a little bit better. But they could do that and take some whatever TV revenues, put that into a fund for travel so that, like, a Nashville... a smaller team, which quite honestly, these USL teams that are still in the tournament right now are mostly big enough that they can afford the travel as part of it also, because they're getting 10,000 people there. You know, it's not...
Like, this late in the tournament, yes, but...
Well, early in the tournament, still keep it regional. I mean, absolutely.
Right.
Because there's enough teams in the tournament early on that it doesn't matter. You know, you have amateur teams in there, USL teams. You'll have, in the future, USL 3, USL 2 teams.
PDL.
So, PDL teams, so NPSL, all these other ones, okay? So you'll have all those teams initially that it's the travel is relatively local for everybody. So that doesn't matter as much. So just have a fund that comes from TV dollars that, but you got to get it on TV.
Well, I figured the response to why is it not on TV is probably just to look at the live stream viewers, which is like a few hundred. See, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, that sucks to talk about, but like, I watching the live streams, you can see how many people are watching these games.
No, that's valid that there's not a ton of people watching them, but it's also not the flipping the channels and seeing it on Fox Sports 1.
I know. Yeah, that's right.
There's a big difference there of I have to go to my computer and sit there and watch it on a live stream with pretty mediocre cameras and coverage and lighting and announcers and all that crap.
Well, it's normally not even that. It's like if you're my parents, it's like they'll turn it on the TV, but like they're not going to try to watch it on their phones.
Right.
Actually, they did, but you know, but still, there's more people like that that are just, like you said, if it's on TV, it's on TV, but they're not going to search it out online.
But if it's on TV, more people will watch it. And two, you'll actually get some kind of ad revenue from it. You know, not much, but some. So anyway, any dollars and any exposure is better than getting no dollars for it.
Cody, I mean, both Seinfeld fans, you remember.
Yeah.
Seinfeld episode. Why will people watch it? Because it's on TV.
It's on TV.
Not yet.
Not yet, it's not. Nice. Solid reference, Bob. Okay, should we... We have some audio... Thad has some audio from Vermees. Shall we take a listen?
Sure.
Let's.
Very, you know, probably one of the best teams right up there with Atlanta.
Okay, I'm going to pause that right there. All right, Peter, the best team in MLS. How many, is it, that's like the 17th time we've heard that this season.
One of the best.
Very, you know, probably one of the best teams right up there with Atlanta on the counter. Team we'll have to be really alert to for 90 minutes just because of how quick they are to get out, especially with their wingers, center forward, and their underneath or attacking midfielder, whatever you want to call them. They get out really quickly, and they're very explosive, and they scored a lot of goals in the league. So that's something that we're going to have to be really aware of. Outside of that, we're going to have to be also focused on our game. It's always a battle with us against those guys, and so I don't perceive it to be anything but that.
Okay, knowing that, how will Peter Vermees counter their counter-attacking abilities?
Counter the counter?
Well, as we say every game, possession, 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 right? And no stupid giveaways.
In dangerous
simple
areas.
As that.
Yeah, that sounds easy, right?
Yeah, there you go. That's
yeah,
the answer.
Counterattacking.
That's the answer Peter would give, too.
In the counterattacking, you wait for a mistake, so just don't make any mistakes.
Exactly.
That's, soccer's easy. We can go home now, right? What are we talking about?
It's simple, but hard.
Truly.
Ilya is going to have to stay home, protect that back line, you know?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I think prediction-wise, going to be Ike and Ilya center back. Just kidding. Obviously. Thad just looked up at me like I was had no. 40 heads.
Well, what? Let's let's talk about defense. Is Beisler going to be ready to go?
Doesn't sound like it.
Peter said he would be a game day decision, but considering he's not, I don't think he practiced today. And he didn't practice for the last few days. I think they're still resting it to make sure he's okay. You'd much rather make sure he's okay than risk him in being out for long term. So I kind of doubt that he will be, but if anybody could like just practice on Friday and play on Saturday, it would be him.
Right.
That's true.
But I do agree. I think that they'll probably rest it. Like we saw that with Kyrie and Johan, you know, probably let it rest. If I had to guess, maybe a game more than they may have needed to, even they're just unsure. And
yeah, I actually saw Kyrie in during the break, and he was I could play now.
Yeah,
And it was still another game or two before he played, and just getting in this last game. So
yeah,
as Matt himself said this morning, he says I'm going to try to do as much as possible to be ready, but we also have to be smart. Said we'll assess more Thursday into Friday and make a smart decision. So
and the captain himself.
Yeah, and despite what Allie was saying about Amor, Beisler had good things to say about him. Bob, was that your audio that you sent me?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I was going to mention this earlier when Allie was talking about Amor.
I wanted to stop it immediately after she was done giving her spiel and then immediately play Beisler's talk positive about him so she could sound stupid.
Cody, you edit this podcast. So if you want to do
that,
you can.
What Beisler said kind of backs up what you said. As Beisler was saying, you know, he does a good job of focusing on his strengths. And he did kind of caveat it a little bit by saying, so far, he's done a good job of that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I think Beisler realizes some of the things that you know, were mentioned.
And I just think that his weaknesses are going to be an adjustment for how that back line typically plays. So.
But so far, his only weakness is he's slow to get back after he loses the ball after dribbling it up half the field.
Yeah, slow
and
is
maybe
really
not
the only thing.
Slow, and then also I think in terms of just like that back line, that kind of IQ, like Matt Beisler has been playing that position with this team for how many years now? Like he just
like
some
20 years or something.
It might as well be 20 years. Like he literally
a lack of cohesiveness.
Before he even, you know, he just literally has been such a strong force in that back line, and I think that to fill those shoes. Like, that is, like, I know a lot of players on this team, big shoes to fill, but, like, Matt Beisler may have the biggest shoes to fill in terms of just experience and skill and just
communication
with
everyone.
I know we've talked about, like, do we have a leader on the team or is he the best leader, best communicator? He does have such a strong presence back there, and he does kind of keep that back line intact, and I think that Amor maybe some of his difficulties in that position or some of the times where he wasn't as strong maybe were coming from that. So,
well, I think also it's going to make a difference with Melia in goal as opposed to Zendejas.
Very true.
Definitely.
I didn't even think about that.
Well, yeah, and the only that last game with Zendejas was the only time I've ever had anything other than like glowing reviews of Amor. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
It very well could be Melia calling shots back there is what he needs.
Yeah, so the combination of those guys may not be the best.
Right.
But I mean, because I'm still pretty high on Amor. I don't think his negatives are that bad at this point.
Agreed.
He's not Beasler, but that's
right.
There's nobody
expected.
That is.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody's Ike because nobody else is.
And I don't want you to think I was coming down so hard on Amor. I'm not, like, so displeased, and I don't think that he has a future with the team. I think he has plenty of room to grow in a future, but I just think that...
Well, here's the fact. We are less athletic without Beasler and Madronda on the field in the back line.
Perfect transition. I was just about to ask about Madronda.
Still out, still on... Now the phrase is that he's on a timetable to come back. Which, but we don't
literally
know
means nothing. He's on a timetable to come back. That is just
still not practicing.
Pure Sporting Kansas City front office gold.
But a bone bruise, which is what it is.
We
correct,
actually kind of follow the same system. Yeah. Accurate, partial information. Well, we take our cues from the boss.
That's why we only have accurate, partial information.
Yeah, because nobody is feeding us the stuff on the side.
But as I was going to mention one other person, Cody saw at the Open Cup game, Lovato, like Kramer in the episode where he has too tight of jeans, trying to move down to his seat at the game. But he had knee braces full from thigh to calf on both of his legs.
What Bob is, or just to paint the picture because it's radio, if you have ever seen Seinfeld, the episode where Kramer was stuck in the jeans and he was trying to sit down in the chair in his little play he was doing and couldn't do it, that is what Lovato looked like. He had two heavy-duty braces on both of his legs and hobbled onto the, you know, the suite deck and sat down at an angle slowly. So he's probably not playing.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Yeah. He is also on a timetable to come back.
Yes, he is.
Okay, so we got more Jalen. I'm cool with that.
I'm so cool with that. I'm a huge Jalen Lindsay fan.
So now he is the only... Well, Seth. Actually, Seth is back in practice. That's right. Seth is back in practice.
There you go.
Colton Storm.
Are you... No one
we're talking about players that are available.
Oh, yeah, he's available, but he's still... He's the right back that everybody said couldn't play left back, and he did a little bit, and it's okay.
Well, so even though Lindsay is a right back playing left back, do you play Lindsay at left back over the actual left back of Seth Sinovic?
Ooh, that's a really good question, Cody. That's like the best question you've had all day.
Aha!
Tactically, Sinovic would probably be a better option as far as dealing with a counterattack and being smart
about
that.
If that was his focus, like he says, yeah.
Yeah.
I would almost say if Beasler was in there, I'd put Lindsay there. Just because of the speed and et cetera. Without Beasler there, though, I might go with Seth if he's ready to play. Because being back in practice doesn't mean he's ready to start.
Right. Yeah.
But it means he's getting closer at least. But just because of his experience, I would probably go with Seth in that case.
Yeah, that's fair. I like Jalen, though.
Yeah, I do too. He's the guy of the future.
It just seems like he already fits. He just belongs. I've never really, not that he's like played that amazing, but I've never felt like, oh, he's got a lot to learn, or he needs to learn specifically this before, you know, I don't know. He seems pretty well-rounded and smart, has a good IQ so far.
And he's just going to get better. He's just 18. And
right.
Yeah. And it's like with him, I feel like he's not going to have this like insane just like breakthrough year. I just feel like each year it's just going to be this like this, you know, grand kind of progression, because he already, like you said, he already has so much of the like essentials that are just like innate with who he is, like athletically and just in his soccer IQ. And I just think that, you know, Busio, you know, I think we're going to kind of have like this kind of breakthrough, like mostly when he kind of gets those like man muscles. Same with like Shallowy, even. It's like Jalen's already had, he already has the build to like keep up physically. And like Kuzain,
exactly.
Like Kuzain was getting this.
Yeah, Yeah, the physicality. That's one
thing. Like that's,
I
think that's what with him. It's like now it's just going to be the experience and really like the experience and getting to play around some of these guys more. And then,
yeah, Jalen is physically ready to play at MLS. So that's not the problem.
Yeah,
he's played with the U-17 national team. He was in Bradenton for a year. He played with Swope a little bit. He's got all that tools already, and he's. I mean, I really would not be upset if he was starting outside back at either side. I mean, other than losing Zusi. I mean, I don't want to lose Zusi because he's
right. He's Zeus.
Yeah, I mean, he's.
You mean that overpaid outside back?
According to who?
Too many people, Thad.
I would agree with you on that also, Cody. Too many people.
Twitter
think
makes
that.
Me angry.
There's a song called Too Many People. Anyway. All right, so midfield, are we going to assume it's Kraze, Ilie, and Roger?
Roll with the hot hand of Johan.
Or you stay with Kuzain, who's gotten us there so far.
I wouldn't say Kuzain's gotten us there so far. I would say he was a part of, you know, he was out there. But I think, like, just based on what Peter kind of said about him, like, you know, again, with that physical aspect, I think he's going to definitely get maybe a start in the next Open Cup game, but I don't think he'll get the start again.
Yeah, Ilie, Roger, and
Johan
this match.
If he's either 90-minute fit or they plan on bringing in Kuzain partway towards the end. Because quite honestly, right now, they're very short on midfielders.
Yeah.
Well, that's one reason we're probably looking for one in the transfer window, apparently, too. So, all right, so up front... Up front, we going with Shelton.
Bob has been low key referencing a source that we don't like to mention around here.
Well,
a source.
There goes Cody. I mean, okay,
that Cody though.
That Cody though. That's why I named it that. That's why they call me that.
They.
So are we Shelton? Shall we Russell?
The trilogy. Yep.
SSR.
Fine. SSR.
I like it.
Okay.
I don't know who else you put there at this point.
Shelton's back. He's fit, right?
Well, he got just as much time. He got more time than Kraze did last game, so.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's right.
My question would be if they're either one of them is 90-minute fit at this point. But if you go into it planning on subbing both of them, perhaps you do start both of them. Vermees did say that he's getting them back fit by practice, which normally, you know, he doesn't say that. He normally says that game, you know, you got to get game fit by playing games.
Right. Well, we've got flexibility in the front line. We can move things around if we need to. So
we have our super sub Diego Rubio.
And Shalawi can play in there.
And Gerso could play, could come in. Shalawi could be in the middle.
Right.
Which actually that could be also the start too. Could be Gerso, Shalawi, and Russell and bring in Shelton at a little bit later point.
Could be.
Listen to all those weapons. Just lethal. And people are like, oh, is this team...
I'm not saying those are all lethal. But...
Is this team built to withstand the whole season? Yes, they are. Yes.
They're built to withstand the whole season if Peter uses them all so they're not dead at the end.
And
although that was not the problem last year.
And my favorite asterisk, this is all without Felipe.
That's a good point, Cody. I was going to bring that up, too. The guy who would be probably in the talks of being in the league MVP right now.
Yeah, it's not mentioned enough. I'm all for not making excuses, but it is not mentioned enough.
What could have been right now?
Well they're doing awesome
for what
right
will
now.
Be.
No, I know. But
top
I'm
of the table without a league MVP.
With...
It's crazy.
And the good news is he's doing more and more, so he's getting closer and closer to at least getting back to practice.
He made an appearance on Behind the Shield.
Yes, he did.
Briefly.
Yeah.
Congratulating his backup.
How about Madronda's response on that video?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah,
I liked Peter, though. Peter was straight geeking out on like three different occasions.
That was like Zidane's goal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Though.
And then the camera turned around and looked at him. He's like jumping up and down.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It's got to be the best goal of your career, right?
Yeah. Behind the Shield, there's so much good stuff in there. Kudos to the team on that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you guys did a good job with your convo in the cauldron or whatever, wherever you ended up calling it.
Well, thank you. I'm hoping to. Like,
they need to. They need to let us go behind the shield.
No, but yeah, we had a lot of fun, and I know I've been thinking of some new ideas of fun, like cauldron related things that we can do for future games. So, if any cauldron folk listening to this podcast have any ideas for us, you can drop them in the comments or send them to us on social media, because we listen to you.
It's not all about the cauldron.
We want to claim...
Okay, you're right. Everywhere.
We want to claim a section in the cauldron and have people come up to us.
Yeah. Come talk to us. You know? But like...
That wasn't paying attention. Yeah.
No, I was. I was trying to think up a new name, but everything
I came up with
was not working.
And I love alliteration,
the blue
so it
video.
Has to be... Well, I was going to do like keeping up with the cauldron, but then I was like, ugh, that's kind of like...
Girl. Alliterations are my favorite.
I love alliterations. Alliterations, someone once told me this, alliterations are the cocaine of writing. And it's like literally so true.
That makes sense to me. I get it. I understand the line of thinking.
Because you get that feeling when you come up with a good alliteration.
We're obsessed over here. Are you guys not on the same page with this? Is this
generational
difference?
Shades of blue. No.
they're so fun. So I do a lot of copywriting for my job. And anytime I can get a client to go with an alliterate, like a concept that uses alliteration, I'm like, yes, this is amazing.
Timeless.
It's just great. It's timeless.
When alliterations will work 200 years from now, if the planet makes it that long.
If people still communicate that way with words. We're going to be communicating with numbers somehow.
These two are sitting here on the other side of the studio just trying to come up with an alliteration to
end this
segment.
It's
I think.
Hot dog pun 2.0.
Yeah, I don't know if I couldn't really come up alliteration, but I was just like TBTV.
But see, that's what you're.
I like the blue team.
I'm not saying it's great. I mean, was the best one I came up with.
That
so
wasn't
far,
bad.
Though.
You're getting
I
there.
Like, we're on to something. So stay tuned
so
for
you
whatever
go
great
TBT
name.
TBT or Shades of Blue?
Or do BTTV without the first T.
What's BT?
Blue Testament TV. Just without the first T.
BT
you
talk.
Go to bed.
TBT talk.
You removed one letter
BT
and it
talk.
Changed the entire essence of the name.
Talk
threw everything up.
BTV. Big time video. No.
Have to come up with something. I'm sure we will.
Not
do
on
we
the
talk
air.
About Houston anymore, Cody?
Let's not do it on the air. No, I think we're moving past that.
Okay.
Naturally.
Are they good?
Do you want to do investments is what I was about to say. I don't know where that came from.
Do you need to go to bed?
Yeah. There's a Wells Fargo ad on the screen of this TV. predictions.
TV.
I mentioned that to Beasley.
There's
today.
A TV right there. It still works. Oh, my goodness.
Speaking
okay.
of Wells Fargo, are you ever going to forgive Landon Donovan?
Yeah, I mentioned that to Beasley today.
That doesn't bother me all that much.
Me neither, really.
I've always been, I like, in the NCAA tournament, I'm a KU fan. I'll root for Big 12 teams. In the World Cup, I'm not going to root against CONCACAF. I'm not going to root for Mexico to, like, make the quarterfinals. I'll be rooting whoever's playing them in the knockout round. But, like, yeah, CONCACAF, advance. Get there. Show the world.
I did like Bocanegra's tweet. I think it was Bocanegra. My next team or second team is Wells Fargo. I thought that was pretty clever.
Yeah, I mean, Lando, make that money. I'm not really mad at it. You know, do your thing. It's how the world works. This is America.
Yeah, and you should be rooting for America, not Mexico.
Well, we can't, Thad.
Yeah, we should. I agree. We should. I wish we could.
Could still be rooting for America.
Could if I would, but I can't, so I won't.
Mexico's
that's,
a part of the Americas,
the
Thad.
Part of the Americas, but not part of America.
Yeah, but doesn't success of CONCACAF in the World Cup improve our future success the way it's viewed?
Hey, if Panama goes all the way, then we have some justification for losing out to Panama.
Exactly.
But there is a
except we lost out to Honduras, though, technically.
Well,
who
Panama
then lost
too.
To Australia.
I mean, come on.
There's a little bit of a difference, like saying, okay, if CONCACAF does well, I'm okay with that, or, you know, it's good for us, and blah, blah, blah. But to actually just, like, wear a rooting for Mexico shirt, that's no.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but he's got Mexican heritage.
And Donovan?
Yeah.
He didn't say Mexican heritage. He said where he's played with a lot, like the Mexicans have influenced his soccering career.
All right.
Yeah.
He's definitely not Mexican.
Where he grew up, he interacted
Southern California.
A lot of Latinos. Yeah.
Bocanegra has Mexican heritage, and he is like, no, that's wrong. That is our biggest rival. You do not root for our biggest rival. And I completely agree with him. You do not root for the biggest rival.
I like that. I like players saying that. But also, I'm not going to be that mad at
Lando.
Doesn't
mean he's right.
I'm not going to be that mad at Lando for this.
The one thing is he should never, because he's like been an assistant coach or coached like a U-17 team or something. He should never coach an American team for having done that.
Donovan?
Yeah.
He's a commentator. Isn't that the path he's going? He's not trying to coach, is he?
He's been a coach with like one of the youth national teams.
Oh.
And he's wanting to be the owner of San Diego, isn't he? One of the owners?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he should not be coaching any U.S. national teams, period. Not now.
Fighting words. I'm fine with that, I guess. I'm just not mad about any of this. I like all sides of this. Lando, make that money. Okay. Any other World Cup takes?
Find anybody we should, like, sign?
If we could.
Cristiano keeps doing it. Different ways. Got to give him cred.
Where does that Russian Cheryshev play? Can we afford a Russian? He probably plays for Moscow, I think.
I don't know that we could afford a Russian. They're pretty corrupt.
For that reason, I'm out.
Okay. Any final thoughts? Thad, say something prophetic.
Houston is one of the best teams in the league.
There's about 17 best teams in the league, according to Peter Vermees and his political responses.
And we play. Oh.
And we beat all of them, so they're going to go beat the best team in the league again.
They do seem to have a habit of going up against the team that is hottest and then coming away with the result, be it a win or a draw.
No, I don't think that's ever going to change. Sporting Kansas City plays to their opponent. It's every single time. They'll be able to go to Atlanta and make a game out of it, but Colorado at home will always be difficult. For some freaking reason.
And that is why every team in the league is the toughest team.
Parody. Okay. We're losing we're losing that other half of the studio, Allie. They're on their phones like a bunch of millennials.
So, I'm just closing my window.
So I'm ending this. Until next week.
No prom.
Go Sporting.
Go Sporting. Woo!
Anything to shake this foot I'm in. My foot patting's got me drinking. My foot patting's got me drinking.